Our Heavenly Father, we honor and praise your glorious holy name today. We say, hallowed be thy name, Lord. Thank you because thine is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the victory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your goodness. In your power, in your hand, Lord, is power to make great. In your hand is power to make, to give strength to all. And we praise and thank your glorious name today. Thank you for the mercy that you have shown to us. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. As always, the entrance of your word, we know, Lord, brings light. And again, we approach that word today. And ask for that light. Give us understanding, everyone. And give glory to yourself in the message of the Lord. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's say amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, we did the riches of God's glory, part one. And today, I'm going to do the riches of God's glory, part two. And I'm going to ask them to put up the slide and fix your attention to that. We're going to show, we're going to be talking today, the riches of God's glory, part two. And this will be the mercy seat that we are going to be dealing about. The mercy seat is what we're going to do today. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's part two of this message, is what we are going to do today, and it's called the riches of his glory. And I want you to remember, last week we talked about part one of this message, and then today we are going to go into part two. Now we're going to start at Exodus chapter 25. I want you to turn with me to Exodus 25. Now this is the riches of God's glory, part two, the message. The mercy seat is where we're going today. And Exodus 25 is where we're going to start. Now in this chapter, the Lord gave plans for them concerning the tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat, and so forth. And if you don't know what that's all about, I'm just going to spend a little time to give you the background for that. I don't want this to be a very long message at all. But the Lord gave Moses instruction to pitch a tabernacle, and which was going to represent later things to come. And he gave him instructions to put some certain things in there, some symbols and some patterns and different things. And what you see up on the monitors there is a depiction of the temple that they built, and there's various things there, and I will explain some of them, and then we're particularly going to the mercy seat is where we're going. And now this temple, let me just give you a quick synopsis of what the temple looked like. The temple that you see there, you can't see the complete frame, but the outside, the frame, the rectangle, is what's called the profane court. That's for the Gentiles, you know. So this was a Jewish temple, the plans that God laid for them, and there are some symbols here that I want to quickly go over, but then I'm going to concentrate on the mercy seat because that's where we're going. Now, when you proceed from the profane place, which is the outer court, which were the Gentiles, you know, for the Gentiles, then you have on either side, there's four sides to this thing. The 12 tribes of Israel, and then there are, you know, some of the tribes, three tribes on the east, three tribes on the south, three tribes on the north, three tribes on the west, and so forth. But as you get inside, I want to see the bottom part of this. As you get inside, if you scroll that down a little bit, down this way, as you get inside, the first thing that you're going to see, when they come down a little bit, bring that down a little bit. Okay. First thing you're going to see, that's fine right there. First thing you're going to see, up a little bit please, we want to see that. That's fine right there. Just leave it just like that. What you will see here is when they come into, this is the first part of the temple. There is this thing called the brazen altar. And I gave some of the scriptures where you can find all these things. The reference to the brazen altar is in Exodus 30 and verse 1. And you see the high priest that comes in. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But over here you see the Levites and the priests. And then there's also a lever there where they have the basin with the water and they do their washings and so forth before they go on. Now, there's two kinds of priests. They have the normal, the regular priests that go into this first part of the temple. You know, they can be called priests, they could be called Levites. But then there's a different kind of priest. It's called the high priest. Now, so if you show the upper part of this, just a minute, let's scroll that up. The upper part of this, you will see that there is a, this is the first section when you get in here, and then there's another section there, and there is a veil, it's called the outer veil, and then, you know, there are some symbols there that we're going to describe. Now, the depiction that I want to talk about is this. You know, for the Gentiles, when God was dealing with Israel as a nation, you know, the Gentiles were like, you know, if we compare that to our day, that would be like those who are outside the kingdom. You know, and for those who were entitled, all the children of Israel, whether it's Israel, Judah, but for simplicity, I'm just going to say Israel. The children of Israel were, you know, they could come in here. See, because that's what we had at that time, the children of Israel, you know, they could come in here. We, you know, they hadn't divided the kingdoms into Israel and Judah and all that, you know, so, but they could come in here. Any one of them could come into any part of the temple. And then, once you get in, there's a part where only the priest could go. You know, that's the second part. And then there's a part that only the high priest could go. Well, you know, so, if you're entitled to go into the temple, you could go if you wanted, or you could stay outside the court, in the profane court, with the Gentiles. And if you are a priest, you could stay outside, or you could go inside, or you could go inside the first tabernacle, which had the first veil, you know, which is where you could do your service, you know, or you could just choose not to go that far. And if you are the high priest, you also could go beyond. Once in a year, they could do that, and have the blood of the sacrifice to go inside the holiest place, and so forth. So you see the progression, you know, and we're going to bring out a point with that, is that it's the same thing today. You know, the things of God, the kingdom of God, the revelation of God is progressing. And if you could choose to stay on the outskirts, and you could choose to stay on the outside and be looking in, or you can come in, or you can choose to press in. And last week we already talked about the veil, you know, parting for us. You know, we went beyond the veil last week. You know, so Jesus took care of that. You know, the veil that separated, the veil that Israel told Moses to put on in his face because they didn't want any part of the glory of God. You know, and they say, you listen to God and then you come talk to us. You know, well, that veil, Jesus already took care of that. Amen? Amen? Now we can go in. And Jesus gave the example of David that went beyond, you know, the second veil where he wasn't supposed to go. There was only the high priest that could eat anything that was in there. The bread that is on the table there, the show bread. Jesus, I mean, God told them in the commandment, he said, that show bread must be before me continually. That's like the word of God. You must read the word of God all the time. Then there's the lamps, you know, and so forth like that. The candlestick that had the lamps and the oil and the branches and all that. And if you move that down a little bit, we are going to, I don't want to actually up the other direction. I don't want to go too far into any of this because I'm going to the mercy seat. Now over here, you'll see there is also what's called the golden altar. And then there is another veil. See? And behind that one that's called the inner veil, only the high priest could go in there. Now let's take a look at some of the things that are inside there because that's what we want to talk about. You know, there is the ark. And then there is the mercy seat. But inside our ark, there is something. And we're going to read about it. You know, so turn your attention now that you've seen all of that. That's just a quick depiction of that. Now turn your attention to Exodus 25. And then I am going to read from verse 8. I read verses 8 through 11 and 16 to 22. Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary. Now, prior to that, the first few verses, he told them to bring the offering. You know, for them to make all of these things. He said, look, everybody bring their offering and so forth. And, you know, if you want to give willingly, that's in verse 2 of Exodus 25, he said, you can do it. You know, so God loves a cheerful giver. And then he told them in verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half. And so he begins to tell them the dimensions of how they are going to make the ark. So he gives it to them, you know, 2 cubits and a half this way, and 1.5 cubits for the breadth, and 1.5 cubits for the height, and so forth. And told them, overlay it with pure gold, and put within it, you know, he said, overlay it with pure gold in verse 11, within and without, and thou shalt overlay it, and thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. So that's the ark. See? So that's the ark. That's the first part of what's inside the second veil there, the inner veil. You know, so he told them. And then in verse, I'm going to skip a few verses and then read from verse 16. And then, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Now, the testimony that God gave him was all the word of the Lord that came to him, and he wrote it on 2 tablets, the commandments and so forth, you know, when he was in the mount. And then later on, he was instructed to put those things in the ark, you know, the 10 commandments and the word of the Lord that came to Moses at the time. He was instructed to put those things in the ark. So he said, put the testimony in the ark that I shall give you. And thou shalt make a mercy seat. Verse 17 is where we're going. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, and cubit shall be the height. So the dimensions match the ark exactly, so it can sit directly on top of the ark. So it is exactly matches, so it can sit on the ark. You know, you say, you know, why did God give specifics of those dimensions? Well, I don't have time to go into all of that today, but I want to point one thing out. God said, thou shalt make a mercy seat. You know, and I said last week, aren't you glad that, you know, the mercy of the Lord, I mean, we are vessels of mercy. He didn't call it the judgment seat. He called it the mercy seat. And that's the reason why we are all sitting here today. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Right. And here's what he said, verse 21. Of course, he gave, you know, from between verses 17 and 18, he gave them depictions of what they should put, the cherubims they should put over on this side, the cherubims they should put over on that side, and how the cherubims should face each other. He gave them specific instructions and so forth like that, and how they should stretch off their wings over the mercy seat and cover their face and all that, you know. So, for verse 21, and thou shalt put the mercy, now this is where we're going. So, I want everybody to pay attention to this verse. That's Exodus 25 and verse 21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Now, so God exalts the mercy seat above the ark. Now, the ark contained the testament, and it contained, and it represented, of course, yeah, they carried the ark around and so forth. You know, well, of course, the ark, you know, was there. But he said, put the mercy seat on top of the ark. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And he said, you know, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there, now notice, verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. You know, so the glory of God is coming in there, and the glory of God comes in the clouds, you know, above the mercy seat and so forth. And he said, that's the place where I will choose to meet with you. You know, now the mercy seat is sitting over the ark. Now, what does that all mean to us? Well, if you read in Exodus 26, verse 34, and also Exodus 40, verse 20, I'm going to read those to you very quickly. Exodus 36, 26 and 34. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of, you know, testimony in the most holy place. So I want to emphasize the fact that the mercy seat is sitting on top of the ark. That's what I'm emphasizing right now. Now, also in Exodus 40 and verse 20, let me read that to you real quickly. Exodus 40 and verse 20, he says, "And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves in the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark." You know, so we see that the mercy seat is placed upon the ark. Now, what does that all mean? Well, in James chapter 2 and verse 13. In James chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, we're done with that slide. So if they want to put up the scriptures, that's fine. If that'll work. The James chapter 2 and verse 13. It says that mercy rejoices over judgment. Now, last week, we spoke about how Moses asked to see the glory of God in Exodus chapter 33. And when God would answer him, he talked about the mercy of God. Now, those of you who were here last week, you may remember that. And if you missed that message, it will be on the website. And it's already there. You can check it out. Because you need that as a background to this. Moses wanted to see the glory of God, but God talks about his mercy. And when he revealed himself, he said, "I'm going to proclaim the mercy of the Lord," and I mean the name of the Lord. He proclaimed the name of the Lord as the Lord God, the merciful God. So he showed his mercy, and he connects that to the request to see his glory. Now, so what does that all mean to us? Well, James 2:13, like I said, he says that mercy rejoices over judgment. Now, we also said last week that if you receive the mercy of God, because that's the first thing that God declared about himself, abundant in mercy and thanksgiving, long-suffering and, you know, goodness and keeping covenant to thousands. If you receive the mercy of God, then you don't have to deal with his judgment. You are passed from judgment unto life. Amen? But if you don't receive the mercy of God, then you're going to have to deal with the judgment of God. Now, you know, the Bible does say that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, but that's, for us, it's actually the mercy seat. It's called the throne of grace. Now, you know, it's a two-edged sword. You know, if you receive his mercy, to you it's the mercy of God. You know, but if you don't, it might be the severity of God that you will face. You know, but, you know, for those of us who are vessels of mercy, the riches of God's glory, God said will be coming upon the vessels of mercy. And that's where we are going with this message. Now, this is a different kind of message today. You know, but this is to depict the mercy of God and to depict all that God did for us. Now, I'm going to read to you a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first couple of verses to show you that Christ, now we're talking, I'm going to bring the connection between the glory of God and the mercy of God, like we started last week. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, here's what the Bible says. It says that God, who at sundry times, and in the olden days, that's what that means, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, and we know that his name is Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And last week I showed you how he went and took that book. And how God made sure that only the heir would have the key to open the seals of the book. And he has appointed him as heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, this is Christ, who being the brightness of his glory. Now, Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. And he is the express image of God's person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, so now Christ is the express image of God, the Bible says. And that Christ is the very brightness of God's glory. Now, how do we come into that glory? Because the Bible says that the vessels of honor shall, you know, receive the riches of his glory. And the vessels of mercy shall receive the riches of his glory. How do we come into that glory? Well, Jesus himself said it in John chapter 17 and verse 22. He said, the glory which I had with you from the beginning, I have given unto them. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? The glory that I had with you from the beginning. Now, this was Jesus praying just before he went to the cross. He said, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I had given unto them. Why? What is the reason? That they may be one. Oh my. Even as we are one. Now, this is the glory that we are talking about. But Jesus said, I've already given it to them. Now, if he has given it to us, just like everything about God, why is it that we don't have it then? In the fullness of it. Now remember, in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, this is the same God that said, I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And he said that point blank. I'm not going to give my glory. I'm not going to share my glory. You know, I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Yeah. But that was then. This is now. And Jesus said it point blank. The glory that I had with you in the beginning, I have given to them. Now, remember, he is the brightness of his glory. The express image. So that means all of the glory of God that Christ embodied, he has already given it to us. Now, how do we get that glory? Because Moses asked to see it, but God talks about his mercy. Now, that glory is given to us. I'm going to put it to you this way. The mercy seat is the gateway to the fullness of the glory of God. Let me repeat that so you get it. The mercy seat is the gateway for us into the glory of God. There's no other way. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, so the glory of God was the standard. That's where he wanted us to be. But sin made our lives to fall short of it. The sin nature that was introduced through Adam's disobedience, it made us to fall short of that glory of God. But the glory of God is where God wants us to be. You know, that's why he said, all have fallen short of it. Now, if we are falling short of it, how do we get back to it then? Well, Jesus already gave us the answer. In John 17 and 22, he said, I have given it to them. Now, if we fell short of it, from between the time that we fell short of it, and now that Jesus proclaims that he has given it to us, that something must have happened. And that is a story of the gospel. What happened from the time that we lost the glory, until the time that Jesus said, I have given it back to them, that's the story of redemption. Jesus has bridged that gap. How many of you can say praise the Lord? It is really that simple. I don't know how else to say it. He has bridged that gap and he has made it possible for us now to have that glory. Now let me read this to you in Romans chapter 5. This will help you to understand this better. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Now some of you, many people in here, I'm sure, and hopefully most, will understand the message of salvation already. So this is not completely new. But we are just going deeper into the glory of God. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also, I'm saying that Jesus is the one that bridged the gap from the place where we lost this glory unto the place where he said he's giving us back the glory. And this is it right here, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, that's where we are going with all of this, is we are rejoicing in the hope that we will enter into the fullness of his glory. That is what it is all about. And how do we get there? Now, You know, consider this. Suppose that God, instead of the mercy seat, had asked Moses to create the judgment seat. Now, where would all of us be today? Now, mercy is above judgment. See, the righteousness of God dictates that, you know, we must pay for our sins. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, so God, because of his righteousness, must deal with sin. He says he will by no means clear the guilty. But his mercy, now the story of the gospel, some of you may know this in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. That story is actually the story of his mercy. It is the mercy of God that brought his grace down to us. Because he could have just wiped off everybody and created a bunch of new people that would obey him. How many of you know he could do that? But he didn't, because of his mercy. And his righteousness dictated that we had to pay for sin. But the mercy of God brought us a way out. Now the mercy of God is shown to us in the mercy seat, because that's the final progression in this whole thing. We start from the profane court. We go into the general, you know, assembly, you know. Then we go into the place where the priests, the general priests can go. And then finally we go into the Holy of Holies. And when you get into the Holy of Holies, you keep going, you see the ark. And then on top of the ark, you see the mercy seat. So this whole journey ends at the mercy seat. And I am so truly thankful that it all ends at the mercy seat for me, rather than at the judgment seat. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Now when the mercy of God is in your life, you know, he takes care of everything. The mercy of God in your life takes care of everything. You know, some people call it the favor of God. Some people call it his loving kindness. Some people call it his goodness. But I love to call it his mercy. Because it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It is the mercy of the Lord that makes him good. He said, the Lord is good. For, that means because his mercy endureth forever. You know, it is because of his mercy that we can say that he is good. How many of you can say praise the Lord? He said, the Lord is good. For, that means his, because his mercy endureth forever. You know, so we can stand now. In the Bible, in some places, you know, in some places the Bible refers to it as the throne of grace, you know, but it's really the same thing. You know, it's called the mercy of God. He said, let us now go boldly to the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? It is called the throne of grace, but it is actually the mercy seat. That's where he sits, above everything else, even above the ark. You know, that's where he sits, and he overlooks all his works. And the Bible says he is good to all his works. Hallelujah. And his goodness is over all his works. The Lord is good to all. See, and his plenteous is mercy, and so forth like that. And he's looking from the mercy seat. He's looking unto us. And if we come believing in his mercy, you can never go wrong. And we've preached on that subject of mercy, crying to the mercy of the Lord, believing on God's mercy. We've preached it upside down, any way you want. So many different ways in this place. You know. But today, I want to finish this series by saying that the mercy of God, when nothing else could reach us, his mercy reached out to us. How many of you can say praise the Lord? When you were down and out, and if you are down and out today, it is the mercy of God that can reach to you. When anything else will not reach you, his mercy will reach you. And if you cannot latch on to that mercy, knowing that he has already given us all things, that pertain to life and godliness. In fact, he said, I've given them the very glory that I had in the beginning, which I said I would give to nobody. Now, that message is so deep that I cannot preach it in a Sunday service. You know, but I wanted to touch on this anyway. But you can't preach that kind of message in a service like this. You know, but all I can say is that it is the mercy of God is so high, you know, that he places it even above the ark. Now, most people think of the ark as the very presence of God. But he put the mercy seat right above that. You see, they are actually integrated together. They can't be separated, you know, but it is the highest part of his glory is the mercy of God. Oh my. The fact that he can share his glory with us is the mercy of God. You know, because he looked at us, you know, and out of his mercy, he decided to lift us up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he will look at you today. The Bible says, bring the blood of the sprinkling and sprinkle it, you know, around the mercy seat, sprinkle it on the ark, sprinkle it everywhere. You know, he said, because when the cloud comes between the cherubims, I'm going to look at you through that cloud. See? And he said, I'm going to speak to you from above the mercy seat. Oh my. And when I read that, I said, Lord, I am so thankful that you chose to commune with me from the mercy seat and not from the place of judgment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there is not a single soul in here this morning or anywhere on the face of this earth, I might add, that would stand if God would sit in his judgment without mercy. There's nobody. You know. The Bible says that blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered. How many of you can say praise the Lord? It is only the Lord that can do that. Now some of you may be here today. You say, well, I haven't received mercy of the Lord. He is here today. All you have to do is receive his mercy. The mercy of the Lord is forever. That's why he said the Lord is good for his mercy endureth forever. That's the one thing. There are many attributes about God. There are many, many attributes. He's got the fatherhood, you know, attribute and so forth. You know, he's got the compassion. He's got all of this and so forth. You know, you might say the highest, you know, if you're using human terms, because really they are all at the same level. They all work together, all his attributes. But just using human terms, you might say the highest of his attribute because of how he placed the mercy seat above even the ark. You might say that the highest of his attributes is his mercy. How many of you can say praise the Lord? And if you know how to walk that mercy for yourself, you can never go wrong. See, if you know how to walk, look, let me put it to you this way. Some of you may be in here this morning and say, well, I don't even know how to pray. Well, I'm going to teach you the easiest way to pray this morning. And it's this. Just say, Lord, have mercy upon me. That's the best prayer that you can ever pray. And that is one prayer that the Lord can never refuse. Because as we've said time and time again, he gave a parable in Luke 18, you know, because there were some people that, you know, trusted in their own righteousness but despised others. And then Jesus gave the parable of the two that went to pray. And the one, he said, you know, he recounted all his achievements and all his righteousness and so forth. But the other one, he couldn't even lift up his face. All he said was, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a miserable sinner. And the Bible says he went home justified. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, no matter what you are going through, if you know how to get a hold of the mercy of God, he will change that situation for you. Now, you may be going through, you know, maybe you lost your job, maybe you lost your home, maybe you are, you know, whatever it is, whatever crisis you are facing, maybe you are even facing mountains that are hard for you, you know, to even succumb or overcome. Well, you reach out for his mercy. Hallelujah. Praise God. I found in my life, let me put it to you this way, you know, everybody has their gifting with God, you know, and I found in my life that faith has always worked in my life since I was a little kid. You know, Jesus said himself, you know, for this cause I was born. You know, so he said it that way, you know, and so forth like that, you know. And I've seen that, but there were times when I found that even my faith wouldn't work. You know, I mean, because it was a little bit weak. But because of understanding of his mercy, when I reached out, see, there are times when my faith is powerful. And when you have that potent faith, God will confirm your word, even as if it is his own word. And I've seen that many times. But, you know, even when that faith is weak, I have learned and I've understood by the mercy of God. He revealed to me his mercies. Even Paul said, when it came time for the mercy of God to be revealed in me, I who was born as a person out of season, oh my, if you only understood that. So when it came time for the mercy of God to be revealed in me. Now every one of you that is here, the mercy of God is what brought you into these seats this morning. And when my faith wouldn't get the job done, when I latched on to the mercy of God, every single time I got a victory. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Amen. Now I don't care, you know, how powerful your faith is and so forth. You know, I don't care what you know how to do. The mercy of God is above. See, and he says, it is not of him that willeth. It's not even of your faith. But it's of the Lord that showeth mercy. You can have faith all you want. If the Lord doesn't show you the mercy, it will amount to nothing. We're not knocking faith. Well, I know you know me about that. You know, I love faith. And we believe that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it is even the mercy of God that gives you the grace to have the faith. See, that's what I'm saying. Anything that we have from God, it is because of his mercy. You know, some people call it grace. Well, that's good too. But it is the mercy of God. The mercy of God is over all his works. And I want to challenge you to begin to influence your prayer with the mercy of God. You know, if you haven't been using the mercy of God to approach him, I want you to challenge you to change your prayer. When you come before the Lord, you come for his mercy. You know, don't trust in yourself. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't trust even in whatever you can do, but trust in his mercy. He said, the Lord is good to all that trust in his mercy and those that hope in his salvation. Are you hoping in the riches of his glory? You know, what we read here, where he says that we are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we are looking for. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The mercy of God has brought us on this journey and is leading us to the mercy seat. I am counting on that mercy of God that when I arrive at the pearly gates, as they say, you know, I'm going straight to the mercy seat. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You say, you got the secret password? I say, I got it. Amen. Praise God. Nobody can keep me out of that place, I guarantee you. Because Jesus said, I gave it to him already. He said, the glory of God, I gave it to them already. And I have received it in my life. And I am trusting on his mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you are trusting on his mercy every day, you don't have to be worried about, oh, will I make the translation? Will I be saved? Will I be going to heaven? You don't need to worry about any of that. You trust in his mercy. And his mercy will lead you into the paths of righteousness. That's right. Amen. For thy great name's sake. See, the Lord, the mercy of the Lord will not lead you into sin, you know, so that you can say, oh, you know, let's just do anything so that his mercy will abound. No way. The mercy of God will lead you into his righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And those that are forgiven much, they even love the Lord even more. That's what the Bible says. He said, he that is forgiven much, they love it even much. You know, so when God has wiped away all your tears, wiped away your sorrows, given you a clean slate, and wiped away all the handwriting of ordinances that was against you because of his mercy, then you ought to praise the name of the Lord. Then you ought to also show mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they themselves shall obtain mercy. And if you have obtained this mercy, let the bowels of mercy flow on from you to others as well. The very mercy of God that came down to us, that is drawing us every day closer into his image. That's the mercy of God. You know, because he could just write us off, but God never gave up on you, and he will never give up on you. Praise ye the name of the Lord, because he has his mercy. Lift up your hand this morning and thank him for the mercy of the Lord. Thank the Lord for his mercy, that it is the mercy of the Lord that is the highest point, even in the holiest of holies. You might say the mercy of the Lord is the very capstone of his essence. You might put it that way, because that is the highest point. And he said, put it above the ark. And Lord, today we lean on the mercy of the Lord. I didn't have time today to get into the brazen altar. You know how they can even get a hold of it to you know, if they've done something wrong and so forth, get a hold of that brazen altar and all of that, you know, and they must receive mercy and so on. You know, everything depicting the mercy of the Lord. You know. But we have gotten a hold of the mercy of the Lord. Are you a vessel of mercy here this morning? Have you received the mercy of the Lord in your life? Well, if you haven't tasted of his mercy, we never want to close any service without giving you a chance to experience the mercy of the Lord firsthand in your life. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Taste and see that the Lord is good yourself. Taste and see his mercy. The Bible says the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. No matter where you are at, no matter how you got there, the mercy of God will reach down to you today. And the mercy of God will pull you out. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone here today that they may receive the mercy of God. And Lord, that the understanding of your mercy will come to us in Jesus' name. Now, I want to challenge everybody that is here for the next few minutes. I want you to pray. And I want you to pray a different kind of prayer today that you may not have prayed before. I want you to lean on his mercy only. I don't want you to tell the Lord any rationale about anything. I don't want to tell the Lord that, you know, you've kept his commandments and you have fasted twice a week and you've done all these good things. I don't want you to tell the Lord that. I want you to just say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And you focus on that thing that you want God to do for you. I want you to focus. There may be something in your life that looks like it is unmovable, insurmountable. But this morning, I want you to focus on the mercy of God. And let's take this challenge this morning. How many of you will believe with me this morning? Will you believe the Lord with me for his mercy this morning? If you will believe with me this morning, I want you to take this challenge of faith. I want you to step in the air. Anybody that wants to try this new realm of prayer this morning, you step in the air. You come forward here. Let's believe God together. We are going to pray and believe God and just lean on his mercy. We're not going to, you know, recount any of our righteousness or even the faith that we have. I'm not going to do any of that. This morning, we're just going to lean on his mercy. Now, there is something that is insurmountable in your life. We are going to believe the mercy of God. Not because you were righteous. Not because you even did the right thing or the wrong thing. It doesn't matter. See, to this morning. You might even be guilty as charged. But we are going to lean on the mercy of the Lord. How many of you can understand that? I mean, you are guilty of whatever it is already. But today, we are leaning on the mercy of God. Now, I want everybody to begin to pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray to God yourself. And lean on his mercy. Don't lean on your righteousness or your faith or any of these other things. Faith is good. You must have faith to believe even in his mercy. But I'm saying, just lean on his mercy this morning. Lean on the mercy of God. I want to everybody begin to pray. Lift up your voice and call on his mercy this morning. God cannot hear you if you don't call. He said, I've seen their affliction. And all the time that he saw the affliction, he did nothing. Because they didn't cry unto him. But he said, now I have heard their cry. When they began to cry unto him, then he said, I'm ready to go set them free. Cry unto the Lord for his mercy this morning. Is there a situation in your life that the devil has put and has brought even depression into your life that you think you cannot get a victory over it? And you don't even know how you are going to do it. You know, perhaps it's the economy, perhaps it's any other challenge, perhaps it's whatever you are going through. Today, lean on his mercy quickly and he will deliver you. Blessed be the name. Let's pray together. Everybody as a church, lift up your voice and pray. And let the Lord hear the cry, you know, out for his mercy. He is sitting, remember, he's sitting on the mercy seat this morning and he's waiting. He's waiting for your cry and he's looking. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. His eyes are over this place this morning. And I challenge you this morning, lean on his mercy and let's see what the Lord will do. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we call on your mercy this morning. And I want everybody to say with me, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. My eyes are upon you this morning, Lord. For your mercy, oh Lord. Because of my foolishness, this confusion of faces have come upon me. But today, I lean on your mercy, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy upon me today. Have mercy upon me today. And begin to thank him for his mercy. Everybody begin to thank him for his mercy. Begin to thank him for his mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, because you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Your mercy is from day to day and from generation to generation. Oh, Lord, your mercy can never run out. It endures forever. And we are planted in the mercy of the Lord even this morning in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Go back to your seats. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap again. Hallelujah.